This is being led by Gen Z, and as Gen Z grows up and continues to redefine how we use the internet at large, you're going to see a ripple effect of these kinds of search behaviors onto more traditional search platforms, whether that's Amazon or even Google.
Hey gang, it's Tuesday, January 30th. Jasmine, Minda, and listeners, welcome to the Behind the Numbers Daily, an e-marketer podcast. I'm Marcus. Today I'm joined by two people. Let's meet them. We start with our principal analyst, covers everything social media for us, based in California. It's Jasmine Emberg.
Hey, Marcus. Hey, everyone.
Hello there. Jasmine, I nearly said folks, which would have been weird.
That would have been weird.
I stopped myself and then said it anyway. We're also joined by one of our senior analysts covering social media based in New York. First time on the show, it's Minda Smiley.
Hello. Yep. Baby's first podcast.
Hello. Welcome to the Behind the Numbers podcast. Today's fact is where we will begin. So we'll see what you think. Identical twins don't have the same fingerprints. That seems obvious, but I don't know if I would have known to say that or said that confidently had I not done some research on it.
I don't think I've ever thought about that before.
Yeah, same. That's it actually. It's one of those questions where you're like, why would I ever spend my life thinking about that? Well, I have, because I don't have one. So according to the BBC Science, fingerprints are set between 13 to 19 weeks of fetal development. The precise details, the ridges, the loops, your fingerprints are affected by many factors. Umbilical cord length, position in the womb, blood pressure, nutrition, the rate of finger growth, all this type of stuff. And those small differences can be more pronounced after birth as a result of differences in weight and height and things like that. But that's how it happens. But yeah, no identical twins have identical fingerprints. Another fact about twins, an article from the University of Oxford noting about 1.6 million twins are born each year worldwide. Doesn't sound like a lot considering there's 8 billion people on the planet, but 1.6 million twins born each year would mean one in every 42 children are born a twin.
Identical, or could they be fraternal?
Just twin.
Just a
regular standard issue twin. Doesn't that sound high?
It does sound high. In your research, though, is it actually true that twins run in families, meaning that you're more likely to have twins if you have, you know, other members of your family have had a set of twins? I've heard this, but I don't know if it's accurate.
I panic Googled this fact quite recently because I knew I needed something for the episode, but I'll investigate properly and get back to you. That's a good one, actually. Yeah.
And I wonder this because I've got a lot of twins in my family, identical twins.
Oh, really?
Can confirm that there is, like, depending on the type of twin you are, there is a genetic component. But then there are also types of twins that do not have the genetic component, both ways. So it depends on what kind of twin you are.
Wow. So many nuances.
Victoria, who edits the show, coming through. She also researches for the show.
I just know a lot about twins.
Yeah, why is that?
I don't know. I know a lot of twins. I've definitely told you guys that I have neighbors who have three sets of twins, right?
Three sets of twins?
Yes.
Yeah, they have three sets of twins, and they're all under the age of 18.
Wow.
No.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's
crazy.
After the second set, you might have been like, do we need more confusion as to who's who in the family? Anyway, today's real topic, the great behind the numbers takeoff, social trends in 2024. Today is the great behind the numbers takeoff, social trends 2024. It's a bake-off style episode. Takeoff, bake-off, see what we've done. In today's episode, our takers, or bakers, very clever.
We'll be so cheesy, Marcus, but I love it.
Thank you. Thank you. It's horrendous, and no one knows what I'm trying to do, but we're kind of in it now. There's no going back. Cooking up some social-specific expectations for the coming new year. Three rounds, signature take, the how it will technically play out challenge, and the show-stopping argument. Let's meet the contestants' predictions. Jasmine.
My prediction is that search will be the next big battleground in the commerce wars.
Very nice. And Minda.
My prediction is 2024 will be the year that LinkedIn finally gets its day in the sun and it won't live in the shadows of other platforms anymore.
It's time. Okay, very nice. So there are the two we have for you. We're going to start with round one, of course. Round one being signature take. Our chefs will have 1 minute to explain the premise of their trends. Give you a bit more detail on the trend. Jasmine, before we get to yours, Jasmine, mm-hmm. I want to just a quick round of applause for Jasmine. She already got a prediction right Woo-hoo. This year. We're already in January. Could you quickly explain what happened?
I will, but first I'll say I didn't win that round and I should have.
Win what round? Oh, did you not?
No.
Did people not believe in your prediction? Did I not believe in it the most?
You did believe it in the most, but Yuri really did have the best prediction because he was talking about how AI is going to be everywhere. Oh, and I think that's the most important of all of the trends. However, mine did come true.
It is.
My prediction was that social video was going to get longer, even on platforms like TikTok. And Matt Navarra, who is a social media expert, spotted TikTok already testing 30-minute videos this month. And it's only January.
This was, I think, the first episode we did of the year. I think it was our overall trends for 2024. Yes. And Jasmine was on that. Yep. With Paul Werner and Yuri Wormser. And this was her prediction. And it already came true. So well played. Minda, stiff competition today. Let's see how you do.
But I didn't win, so there's that.
You also didn't win. Yeah, that's true. So sorry about that. Maybe we can re-edit it and have me award you the star taker because you nailed that one. But you've got another one for us today.
I do.
Jasmine, search will be the next battleground for social commerce. Tell us a bit more.
Sure. So last year, the social platforms all sort of solidified their positions within the commerce war. TikTok Shop, of course, launched in a really big way, and that then prompted Amazon to partner with Meta because, of course, Amazon and TikTok are engaged in their own battle as well. And when you think about how the social platforms, Meta and TikTok, are approaching social commerce, they are two very different approaches. TikTok is owning the whole shopping experience from discovery to purchase to delivery through TikTok Shop. And Meta has kind of conceded that, you know, it needs help getting people to actually check out on its platforms, even though it is going to make Meta checkout mandatory this year. So that'll be something to watch as well. But despite these different approaches, one of the unifying features of the social commerce experience on these platforms is search. And so while I think we're going to see this commerce war really play out on multiple battlefield, search is kind of the front lines. We already know that people are increasingly starting their product searches on social platforms. And TikTok in particular is going to try to capitalize on those behaviors through search ads that lead people to purchase. That, of course, is Amazon's turf, which is why I'm calling this the commerce war instead of the social commerce war, because we know that Amazon has to compete with TikTok Shop too. So this is going to be much broader than, you know, just the social commerce players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where folks start their online product searches, you have some research in a report you've got on social trends in 2024, and it does show the difference between where most people do and where Gen Z specifically. Mm-hmm. And most people, it's Amazon first, it's search engine second, it's Walmart third, and there's some other social players. When you look at just Gen Z, it's Amazon, and then joint second with Walmart is TikTok, is YouTube. And so we are starting to see that shift, particularly with younger people. Minda, how about you for your trend? And you're talking about LinkedIn getting its day in the sun. Tell us more.
Yeah, so I'm new around here, as I think you mentioned. And I really started off the year talking to a lot of marketers in the social landscape about what they're excited about for the year. And I was really struck by how many of them said LinkedIn, even like unprompted. Like I would just kind of ask, you know, what do you have your eye on this year? What excites you? And I think three different people just brought up LinkedIn, which that really struck me because obviously there's so much happening in social all the time. And there are definitely like flashier things to talk about, AI creators, TikTok and everything. So the fact that so many people said LinkedIn, I just thought was really interesting and really speaks to the fact that I think marketers are really feeling excited about its potential as an advertising platform in a way that they maybe haven't in years past. And so that was really how I came up with that. And I think another kind of element of this is the fact that, you know, there's a lot of reasons why people I think are flocking to LinkedIn, marketers included, but I think Twitter/X is a big part of that. Mm-hmm. I think people that used to be on X and maybe haven't really found a footing on Threads or whatever, maybe don't know where to go. Like, I think a lot of those people are kind of ending up on LinkedIn and posting a lot. And so that's what I expect to happen this year.
Very nice. Yeah, it's a platform that doesn't get as much press as some of its contemporaries.
That's probably a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Could work in its favor, maybe.
That's very, very true. But yeah, I feel like we talk about Snapchat a bunch. I'm just looking at some of the numbers right now. In terms of Snapchat users in the US, LinkedIn's nearly got as many. LinkedIn is 25% of Americans who are on the internet using LinkedIn. And very, very strong numbers in terms of demographics as well. 40% of the core working millennial demographic using LinkedIn, 35% of Gen X as well. And in a few years, Gen Z will be close to 40%. So Gen Z, a smaller share for now, but is growing significantly. All right, let's move to our second round. We'll get a bit more in detail on these predictions. Round two is the How It Will Technically Play Out Challenge. Our chefs will explain in more detail how they expect the trends to manifest themselves throughout the year. We go back to Jasmine talking about search being the next battleground for social commerce. Yeah, how does this unfold?
So I started to talk about this a little bit already, but it's going to be TikTok that's taking the charge in this. And I think that this will be the year that it goes all in on search. I know we sort of made that prediction for 2023 and it started to experiment with search ads, but it didn't quite go as deeply into the format as I thought they would. TikTok obviously still has a lot to prove in terms of demonstrating intent, meaning that users aren't just looking for videos on how to apply eyeshadow. They're actually looking to buy that eyeshadow. But if it can do that, and it, as it rolls out these search ads, there is a potential that it could redirect some budget away from Amazon. And that to me is why this Meta-Amazon partnership is so significant. Amazon hasn't been able to master that kind of fun, cool, serendipitous type of shopping that the social platforms provide. And that's kind of on steroids on TikTok. Mm-hmm. Facebook, of course, isn't exactly cool, but it's still the largest social platform in terms of users. It's the largest social commerce platform in terms of the number of buyers. So that partnership could really help it compete as TikTok Shop continues to encroach on Amazon's turf.
Do you see there being eventually one way that people search for things and buy things on social? Or do you see it being, this is how you do it over on this platform, and this is how mm-hmm. you do it on this one, and they kind of coexist?
So I think the reason that people are searching on social, and Minda, I would love your opinion on this too, because you just wrote a report on social search in Gen Z, is that it offers a different type of experience than the traditional kind of search, right? So the people who are searching for things on social, they want, you know, more entertaining, more engaging, perhaps visual or video search results, or they want crowdsourced information or exactly what I was saying before, like a creator applying eyeshadow to show them how to do it. I do think there is going to have to be some sort of conversion between these two different types of search, because this is being led by Gen Z. And as Gen Z grows up and continues to redefine how we use the internet at large, you're going to see a ripple effect of these kinds of search behaviors onto more traditional search platforms, whether that's Amazon or even Google.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of reasons why Gen Z in particular, which is what my report is focused on, are really in, you know, leaning into this new way of search, I guess you could say. And I think one thing I've heard a lot from marketers is that Gen Z just kind of finds searching on social to be more relatable. Mm-hmm. Like they just kind of like that they can search and they just kind of know that it'll be people like them or their peers or creators they follow coming up. Mm-hmm. So it just kind of, it doesn't always mean they like trust the results more, but it does mean that they at least feel like they can relate and jump in maybe a bit more quickly. Whereas opposed to Google, where you might get a more of a mix of a magazine article, an ad, a blog post. So there is like that dynamic at play, which I think is a big part of it.
Mm. And it's a closed environment, right? Versus an open environment. And I think that that might also help contribute to it. And, you know, I mean, the social platforms, of course, you know, they have low trust, but Gen Z tends to trust them more than other generations. So I can see that also playing a role in that as well.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. Let's move over to Minda's prediction for round two, LinkedIn getting its day in the sun. Give us a bit more detail about this one.
Yeah, well, funny enough, Jasmine actually just wrote about this topic this week in Business Insider, so I could just read her column right now, but
please
I won't
don't
do that.
Please do not.
I will make my own argument. So I think, as I said, like I think the user behavior is there. It's growing. I think there's that element of it. But from LinkedIn's perspective, what they can do to sort of really lean into this growth they're seeing, there's a few things. I think, one, continue investing in AI. I mean, that's like a broader trend across the board with social, but I know that they've done some things. They created like an AI chatbot, I believe, last year that's for marketers to like help them, you know, optimize and create campaigns. So stuff like that is only going to make it easier for marketers to use the platform. And then Jasmine, this is something you probably could weigh in on, but they're also investing in creators a lot. They've already had two, I think it's like they call them accelerator programs, I think. But basically they have these programs where they're giving creators like resources, tools, grants to just help them really pop on the platform. And I think that's going to be a big element as well. And then it is an election year and they do not have political advertising on LinkedIn, at least from my understanding. So I think some brands might find that appealing. You know, they might see it as more of a brand safe environment where there's maybe just less political advertising, political chatter.
Good point.
Of course, the topic of brand safety is quite nuanced and it's debatable how much marketers actually care about some of that stuff. But, you know, I do think that should work in LinkedIn's favor.
I think that's so right, actually. And that's something that I hadn't thought about when I was making my arguments for why LinkedIn will surge this year. And I do know that LinkedIn also doesn't promote political content, not just advertising. It's not something that they don't allow on their platform overall, but it's not something that they'll promote more broadly. They don't necessarily want to be associated with that, even though they've become a news source, right, for a lot of users.
All right, folks, let's move to round three. It's, of course, the show-stopping argument. Our chefs will pull out their best closing arguments as to why their trend is most likely to happen. And we circle back to Jasmine talking about search and it being the next battleground for social commerce. What is your mic drop argument?
Ooh, the pressure, Marcus.
Oh, it's on.
I'm gonna focus on the TikTok side of things because it's a little convoluted otherwise. But the reason this is going to happen is because TikTok, one, has already started experimenting with search ads through its search ads toggle. It's the top platform for searching among Gen Z, which is its core audience, along with YouTube. And if it does this and it's successful, it really could open the floodgates to a whole new surge of traffic to its TikTok shop marketplace, which could help propel sales, which I believe it's going to need as it starts to get rid of those discounts, subsidies, and incentives that it gave to merchants, creators, and to buyers when it first launched. We're also already seeing signs of frustration among some TikTok users because of the amount of TikTok shop content that's flooding their For You feeds. So this could be another avenue for TikTok to be able to drive more sales from TikTok shop without taking away too much from the core user experience and the media and the entertainment that we go to TikTok for.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. Minda, LinkedIn getting its day in the sun. Why is this most likely to happen?
Yeah, I mean, I think LinkedIn's kind of taken a bit of a slow and steady approach, maybe compared to some of the other platforms in terms of how they got to this point and why I think this year will be the year that marketers really prioritize them in a real way. And I think that's because, I mean, my opinion on it is that they're kind of in a nice position where they're not as reliant on advertising revenue as some of the other platforms. They do make money from some of their salespeople tools, from some of their recruiting tools. So I think it's given them time to really be a little bit more thoughtful with their advertising and marketing products and just roll them out in a way that doesn't feel as reactive, perhaps, as some of the other ones out there. And I think they're kind of seeing the results of that really come to light now and advertisers are kind of seeing how that's really impactful. And so, yeah, I think it's going to be a big year for them.
And I think key to your point too, Minda, is that we're not just talking about B2B marketers here. We're talking about B2C marketers, right, who are paying attention to LinkedIn.
Definitely. No, I agree. Yeah.
Very nice. All right, folks, that's it for the game. Time to crown a star baker. And this episode, it will be Jasmine is today's winner. I didn't choose Jasmine's prediction for the year once, and it came true. in just 3 weeks. So, Minda, very compelling argument, but I'm not betting against Jasmine again. Fool me once.
You learned your lesson.
Never fool me again. I have indeed. LinkedIn's fascinating, though. I was looking up some of their numbers. They are top 10 digital ad players. They're on the top 10 digital ad players list in the US in terms of ad revenue. They are $4.5 billion this year. That's up 14%. Last year was 10. Yeah. So to the point about them, you know, ramping up, they are showing stronger growth this year, we expect, than last year. That just under $5 billion is good enough for 10th place on the list. It's behind Apple. But I looked this up, and then Jasmine, I read your article and you noted this as well. It's twice as much as Snapchat make, and it's four times as much as Twitter. And so it's a significant amount and growing. So great take, Minda. But Jasmine will never bet against you ever again. Jasmine's full report featuring six social media trends to watch out for this year is called Social Trends to Watch in 2024. AI creators and search usher in a new era as old behaviors re-emerge. You can head to insiderintelligence.com to read the whole thing or click the link in the show notes. That's all we got time for. Thank you so much to my guests. Thank you to Jasmine.
Thank you, Marcus. I also want to say that Minda is writing a report on LinkedIn right now, and which will be out soon.
Hello,
keep
convenient.
An eye out for the plug.
Stay tuned for that. Well played, well played. Thank you to Minda.
Yeah, thank you.
Of course, and thank you to Victoria. She edits the show and does some impromptu research. And I still don't believe you knew that about twins, V. But if you
I know,
did,
I'm shocked.
I did.
I know.
I know a lot about twins.
Yeah, she probably... Okay.
One of my best friends is a twin.
Weird said that.
I know a lot of twins.
Fair enough. Okay, thank you for that then. James, who copy edits it, thank you to him. Stuart, who runs the team. Sophie, who does our social media. Thanks to everyone for listening in. We hope to see you tomorrow for Reimagining Retail, where you can join host Sarah Lebo, where she talks with Ariel Fager and Becky Schilling all about our brand new, unofficial, most interesting retailers of the month list.